Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row. Welcome to the Friday Rub.
For McDonald's fan feed boxes.
Triple M rocks footy.
Friday Rubbers, we love it at the South Melbourne Richard Marsland Studios. I've got the best in the business parked in here as we get you ready for the massive game between Adelaide and Geelong at the Adelaide Oval. We've had big fat Willis Brownless over there. He dusted off a lunch for five people. Then he got into the studio and told us that the weather is absolutely superb. Couldn't be better for what's going to be one of the cracking Friday night games of the year. We've also got Rory Laird, speaking of Adelaide. He's going to join us later on. Matty Scarlett, attached to the Geelong Footy Club, and of course an absolute legend of that place. Ship off as well, the Chief, nicely oiled up. As I look around the room, firstly, I can see the Chief. He's ready to go. Hello, Chief.
Looking forward to this one, Jim. This, as you said, this could be the match of the season. Agreed. Thus far, with the added ingredient of danger returning to Adelaide. It's going to be huge.
Big Duke, always on a Friday night. Nice to see you.
Looking forward to tonight, Jim. Always feel like it brings the best out of us, this studio. Oh, we're well catered for. Chief actually comes with on a Friday night.
He's got an edge, Chief.
And then as Chief, so we are building into a game that I'm very, very much looking forward to tonight.
Has it been, can you remember, Dame, our Friday night game that's been so much about one bloke in recent time?
Maybe it goes back to another Adelaide-connected game, Jim, when Wayne Carey played against North Melbourne. But no, when you refer to it being about one person, this one is about one person, no matter which way you spin it. And what I like about it too, Jim, that one person has just embraced it, didn't he? Press conferences, Darce, before he got on the plane, when he got off the plane, and then last night.
He has fronted up everywhere, Danger. He couldn't give any more value to that man. No. He just embraces it all, sucks it all up. Won't faze him in any sense of the word at all.
And
that
well
man.
Done to Geelong too, I reckon, because they could be sort of going, oh, look, we probably need to keep a lid on it a bit. They're just saying, bugger it. If he's happy to do it, we'll put him out wherever we want to. And it's promoting their brand and their club, and he's flying and they're flying, and it's working everywhere, Chief.
How good is it also to be working with Enola tonight?
With?
The Enola Gay over here, the bomb dropper. He is just in career form, the Wok.
Last night,
big
of course.
Big stories, massive day story. After day.
How's the fallout from that been, Purple? This is, of course, you're naming the eight players who went to Mick Malthouse pleading with him to stay in 2011.
And the executives of the club, Jim. Look, it hasn't been a hell of a lot, Jim. Nathan Buckley shot it down today at a press conference, and that's what he's been doing. He feels there's no need at all to revisit and address the past. And if I'm Nathan Buckley, I'm probably doing the same thing. Yep. But it was just... what I was trying to do with it was shedding some light on the environment in which he took over, and I think the environment which he's currently in too, given it's not going well.
How was breakfast this morning, Duke?
Yeah, a little frosty. Malloy didn't front, and that always means you're a little reluctant to go down that path if you don't have to too early. I think Damo's name was mentioned in Adbroke about 18 different times, and with it a couple of expletives attached to it. But he had an interesting week, the man who's the president. He's had a few. This is a man who has got, I reckon, about 30 fronts at one period of time. He's fighting, you know, and that's just another one. So Damo, it's just another one. I don't know how he keeps them all up, but
he doesn't lose many.
He'd actually forget too, wouldn't he, who he's fighting with at a given time, because he gets on well with most people a lot of the time.
The academy's genuinely were up there, and the Swans president, and so they're on the firing line. Caro's always sitting there on the list somewhere. You come in and out of the list, Damo, depending on where you're at. Mark Robinson sort of drifts in from time to time. It just would take a huge amount of energy. I'd last a day, I reckon. I'd be cooked.
Hey, Damo. With regard to that group of players, and the way you couched it, I agreed with by the sounding of the story, and that is, it wasn't a Nathan Buckley anti thing. It was much more that they wanted Mick to stay. You know, they loved him and wanted him to remain as the coach.
Yep.
Is it because a lot of those blokes on that list were free spirits? Now, for people who don't know the list, I think you're talking Didak, Ben Johnson.
Yes.
Heath Shaw.
Harry O'Brien. Dane Swan's the one who was still there, Jim.
Yep.
You've also got Dale Thomas, Darren Jolly. Nick Maxwell was one of the eight we mentioned. And the way I catch that was that he was, as captain, the man they went to about this issue. And look, obviously, as captain, he can do what he wants. And he did take it, I know, to the executives of the club. And he was quite diplomatic about it.
And okay. So you did it beautifully. So my query is, six or seven of those eight are pretty free-spirited units.
Hmm.
And Mick, as part of his managing of them, gave him a fair bit of leg rope.
Yeah.
Were they looking through the crystal ball and thinking if Mick goes and Nathan comes in, that leg rope not only is going to be brought in, it won't exist?
Well, Jim, they've either retired in Darren Jolly's case reluctantly or been moved on, or if you're Dane Swan, you've managed to somehow survive it. So I think that's a fair question, and I think you can draw that line with what happened there, with what's happened to those players as well.
All right, we'll watch this space. But as I think, Nathan, you're right, handle it. I think we might even have the grab. Let's have a listen.
I'm aware of the comments and I understand the interest in them right now, but it was, you know, it's 5 or 6 years ago and it's not really going to help us this weekend. I've heard about it before, but what am I supposed to do with that?
And that's a fair enough response.
He did. And look, we had him on Footy Classified 4 or 5 weeks ago, Jim. And at that stage, Nick Maxwell had made the public comments about Nathan not being a motivator and telling the playing group that he wasn't there to make them motivated. And we put that to Nathan and he didn't want to buy into that at all. And again, if I'm Nathan, I'm not either. It is, as he says, a long time ago now when that transition took over. But the issues are still there, aren't they? The lack of, I suppose, motivation coming from Nathan onto the players, that's in contrast with Mick Malthouse. And clearly when they're going into this round eight game with a 2-5 scoreline on the back of two non-finals years, it is very much a crisis point should they lose this weekend's game to Brisbane Lions.
Do you agree with that, Duke? If they go to Brisbane and lose, does it get it any different, worse?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because that's the nature of the game. When you rack up the losses in a row, the pressure just mounts, and that's all it's about. I mean, if you had started this year, well, we're not talking about that at all, and it all comes down to performance, and he would know that. They've won 4 of their last 18 games under Buck. Now, if you were sitting there, you'd say there's some genuine reasons. They've had last week they had 8 players under 25 games. They had a huge amount of issues on their list that are a reason behind it, but we don't tend to buy that in the footy industry. We'll look at it and say, this is a game you should win against Brisbane, regardless of your cattle. I think they're in with a challenge, and if they get rolled, it just goes up another level and up another level, and he'll know that and expect it, and that's why it's intriguing.
Well, the punters, Chief, you know I don't bet on anything, let alone football, which I can't, but they don't often get it very wrong, and they've got, I think, Brisbane starting favourites. I don't know by how much, but
line ball. I think it's a line ball game, that one, and I think there's a lot of interest in that match because Brisbane have faced plenty of pressure already this season and they look like they might be showing some signs of improving. And I think there's a lot of people, because we know the nature of the Collingwood Football Club is you're either with them or you're against
them. Yes, and that's something they promote from within, isn't it?
Correct. And so there's that macabre sense of the rest of the non-Collingwood people that, oh, it'll be a good story if they get beaten up in Brisbane. And Brisbane are expected to be one of the bottom four sides. Well, very quickly, Collingwood have got themselves in that same picture, looking like a bottom four side. I just find it fascinating that we're talking about motivation, given that era of coaching maybe 15, 20 years ago, 30 years ago was incredibly about motivation, whereas now it's so strategically and tactically based. I don't think the coaches these days need to provide that much motivation, do they, Duke?
No, I think different horses for courses. I know some coaches like a bit of an emotive build up to a week, you know, to have a theme or something to go. But I don't think it's the fire and brimstone grabbing someone by the last minute address, and we're going to, you know, the great John Kennedy bang the wall. I'd be surprised if that happens, you know, maybe once a year. I think the next generation of players just don't buy that.
True, Duke. Mm. But I reckon you can tell clubs where players are playing for the coach. Yeah. Adelaide, a great example tonight. I'm not necessarily sure they're going to win the flag in 2016, but I reckon you could tell straight away when you watched them this year that they were playing for Don Pike, brand new coach. They just had that look about them. Yep. Luke Beveridge last year, great example. He'd come in under sort of valued appointment. No one really knew that much about him. Straight away you saw the Western Bulldogs play, you knew they were playing for him.
Couldn't agree with you
so
more.
So I reckon you can see that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is a buy-in to the coach, his message, the environment he creates, the way he treats players, the way he manages players, the way he manages difficult players. That is the challenging art of it. And you know, if you lose a few, that filters through the whole group as well. And I agree with you. I think we can pick it from the outside.
So I guess the issue then is what happens with a Damien Hardwick and with a Nathan Buckley, who have both been at their clubs for 5 and 6 years.
Can I just play devil's advocate for a minute? And you used Don Pike as an example, but the Crows are going okay. It's very difficult, I think, to pick a team that's 1-6 or 2-5 where you just sit there and say, oh, they're obviously playing for the coach. Well, I think it's a little bit of a product of the way they're
well, what about
heading
the Blues
on
then,
field.
Would you think that they've got suddenly some more buy-in?
I think because they're playing a different game style now, plus they've come from the very, very bottom and they've just won 3 in a row, I think there's a a sense of almost an awakening, a new dawning at Carlton now under Brenton Bolton, a fresh voice and whatever. But if you look at a Damien Hardwick or a Nathan Buckley or a Ross Lyon for that matter, I think you'd put them all in the same boat at the moment.
I agree with you, what you're saying, Chief, but one of the biggest concerns for me when you've got very good players who've got a history of being good players who are horribly out of form and stay out of form, to me that is your environment that has to take responsibility for that. And I look at, to have Travis Cloke languish in the VFL, to have Nathan Brown languish would be a huge concern for Bucks. I mean, Ross Lyon at the moment, he has got no one at the moment that could possibly do. He hasn't got players horribly out of form. He's got no players. And I think that's a reason why they're going as badly as they are.
I reckon he's got a lot of players out of form.
Well, he has, but that's probably a product of having Sandilands out and having Fife gone and having huge changes to that cattle. But I think when you've got a list of players that are fit and sound and not playing well, good players, I get concerned about that.
Does you know probably Nathan as well as anyone in this room. Do you fear for what lies ahead for him? And I say that because he's invested his whole life into football, in the professional side of it, obviously.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that, Damo.
I'm just asking because it's now apparent that his future is in question.
Well, yeah, the immediate future I wouldn't think is in question. I don't think there's any danger he won't be there this year. But yeah, absolutely. When you start losing, you think, who would have thought Michael Voss would have been out of the system as the person he is in football? And he's a smart person, Bucks. He's a very self-aware person. He completely understands his situation and know that if it doesn't come good, quickly, or he doesn't show some signs by the end, he's not the sort of person I reckon would hang around.
Yeah, you've said that before.
And would have another chapter of his life that he'd be interested in as well.
Hey, Damo, by the way, Duke and Chief here as well. Luke Beveridge, for the first time, or did he, for the first time in his time as a senior coach, pull the wrong media rein this week?
Yeah, and you're referring to the use of the word disgusting when he came to assess what was being said about the umpiring in last week's Adelaide Bulldogs game. I didn't like it, Jim, only because I felt it was almost done and dusted. I didn't think he needed to use that word. Now, that might have been a slip of the tongue, so to speak. But, yeah, you asked the question, did he pull the wrong rein? I don't think it was the right rein to pull. And what it did, Jim, was create a really hostile environment between the two club stars. You had the Adelaide executive people ringing the Bulldogs executive and also, I believe, going to the AFL over it. Now, they didn't want anything done on it by way of sanctioning or anything like that, but they certainly wanted to register officially their displeasure at it.
Did you green light it, Duke? Did you say attack? Well, charge.
Clearly, it's got nothing to do with me, Chief.
Yes, but
it's an interesting caper these days, Jim, isn't it? Where you're one poor choice of word, and suddenly it's a major incident, and you've upset people. And there's not great blood between those, and it's good rivalry.
Absolutely.
It's a good, healthy rivalry. It goes back a long way. It was probably ignited a bit last year with the story that we don't need to go into around Michael Taylor and Daniel Taylor. We know there was
part of it, isn't it?
That I'm sure it is. Yeah, absolutely. I've got no doubt that would have added to that game going into it. And I think I'm not speaking for Bevo, but if I'm a senior coach and you coach your players a certain way and they're winning free kicks because of the way they play, and then someone makes a big deal of it, what happens next week in your mind? You go, you know what? I bet you the umpires overcorrect the next week and we get the raw end of the deal. So I think his mind would have been about protecting that as much as protecting the umpires. Yep. Did he overcook it with a word? Maybe. Is it that big a deal? I don't think it's that big a deal at all.
No, I'm not sure it's a massive deal. I just don't know why he bought into it at all. I don't know why he didn't just turn around and say, mate, I coach a footy team. Let the umpires do what they do. That's for them to concern themselves with, because as soon as you go there, it becomes a story.
Yeah, and I think Darcy's point, I think probably Luke was actually trying to support his own players for playing that hard style of footy and getting in first. But the way Adelaide Crows took it, and I think they're justified in taking it this way, because Dyne Pike, Jim, very cleverly answered the questions at the press conference. In fact, he tried to shut it down and then he gave just a little answer. We'll seek answers is what he said, or words to that effect.
Yep.
Andrew Fagan, the CEO, tweeted afterwards. It was nothing sinister about it, Das, but I suppose it was relatively unusual for a CEO to buy into it. But again, read the tweet. There was nothing in it. So you can be taken negatively by the way he looks at his own players and also that footy club in question.
I called the game on a Saturday night and there was this huge Twitter storm around, mainly generated in South Australia, because there was a lopsided free kick count. And I can understand when your supporters and they start racking it. You go through that call by call. There was probably two poor decisions, and probably one was one way and one was the other way. It was a total non-event, the umpiring in the day, and it became this massive story that has probably continued on to today, which is the way it works.
Well, I think Bill Brownless pointed it out on the Sunday footy show that the Dogs have something like 67 more free kicks than their direct opponent in seven games of footy, which is a massive amount. So I think that's where there's been a bit of speculation too. It's not just that game. It's been actually across
and,
the whole
And there's no rhyme
sample.
Or reason why that shouldn't happen, Jim. There's no reason that says that every week you should not be in front of the free kick count. And in fact, I think if you went and delved in, I think they would feel as though they play a certain way where they do get in low and hard, and they have got a Dowhouse and a Mitch Wallace. And
well, they're high up in contested footage, which means they're getting to the ball first.
That is the core of the essence of what they play. And I think, you know, Bevo, as the coach, might have been a little protective of that.
Well, we'll see how they do go, because they have got, regardless of what they say, the umpiring fraternity chief, they have got the great ability to overcorrect. To see an anomaly and go, righto, we probably do need to stamp a bit of that out.
Well, we do see that when we all of a sudden see one particular rule getting policed to the nth degree on any given weekend. But look, they reviewed it. They said there might have been two incorrect decisions and that was it. The weight of the decisions going one way or the other wasn't a problem. Troy Pennell was okay. So, you know, it's just unusual to... for one umpire to go that heavily in one play.
17-1.
But he's going to feel it now, isn't he? He's going to, I've paid a certain amount one way. Human nature says that he is going to feel a bit more pressure, and he shouldn't. If they're there, just pay them.
Chief, your mob was the recipient of a lot of favourable free kicks 2 weeks in a row. Not
were
going
we?
Back. Yeah, you were.
A lot?
Yeah. The St Kilda game?
Well, you're calling a lot.
The game
that,
after
you're
it?
Calling a lot those two 15-metre kicks that were called play on.
Fairly crucial time
that
of the game.
A lot. Well, that's different to a lot, isn't it? That's saying it's a crucial.
You won two games in a row on the back of non-decisions being made, Chief.
Really?
Yeah. He did. Jim, also, too, just on the Bulldogs, before we move off them, Bailey Williams will make his debut on the weekend to replace Marcus Adams. He was pick number 48 in last year's draft.
Very nice. Hey, Boomer Harvey speaking today saying he's not resting. I wouldn't have thought he would be anywhere near in line to rest, by the way, Boomer.
Well,
he does every training session. In fact, he's out there longer than everyone on every training session. There's never been a player who requires or needs rest less than Boomer.
He thrives on continuity.
Absolutely.
Does he not like going home, Jim?
No, he doesn't. He is there constantly.
Turns 38 tomorrow, Jim. And even last year when North, I think, arrested 11 players in the round 23 game, Boomer was not one
demanded
of those rested.
He's always been like that. Ever since I first knew him, he has been the best trainer at that club, or the club I'm involved with, Duke. By that far, it doesn't matter. The whole time he's been there.
You've got a little lie on a number called 426 as well, Jim, without paying any factor in it. And you would be not human to at least be thinking if you could be the game's record holder. I don't think he'd like to give one up, would he, at this stage?
No, he's up to 416 now, Das, which leaves him 10 short. And he gave us the explanation as to why he is the way he is.
I don't like to rest. I've played a lot of football, and I'm sure if Brad comes to me and says he wants me to rest, I'll probably say no anyway. I think we're in a position to do some stuff if we want to, but I certainly won't be knocking on the door.
That's it, Jim. He's just going to keep playing, and good show he should.
No doubt about it. I think there are some blokes, Spud Ferrito at North Melbourne is one, who has ongoing issues with what's going to end up being a chronic knee as he gets older in life. Often has to have it drained and treated. So there is a bloke who absolutely at some stage needs to rest. He just can't keep playing. Whereas Boomer has got none of those issues.
Boys aren't getting ahead of themselves, are they, Jim?
No.
Oh, it just sounded like Boomer said we're in a position to do a few things, and it's still only early days.
He'll be talking about he and Brad's relationship won't be in
the
Well,
the way
the
it sounded was we're in a position to do a few things because
Chief, are you detecting a bit of kangaroo arrogance just seeping through? Certainly
and
seeping
it comes
through
from the top, Duke, and we've seen plenty of it here.
I think Carl Delena keeps his head down, and that's how we like it there, and Brad Scott's a very understated man.
So happy is with himself is the president tonight, and at any stage that you come across him, and this hasn't changed year on year, but he's turned up tonight wearing a pink cardigan, which
it's
is
not, it's a Bonds hoodie.
It is of the likes of which I've never seen before. Damon, you're in charge of the social media. We've got a picture of that out there. What's the sort of snapshot of what's coming through, Damon?
Well, we've got use for it, haven't we, Das? We just know what he wears and how he rolls. But this is from Tim Hutchison. Thought Jim had four boys. Whose daughter did he steal that jumper off?
Piss off, Hutchison.
What on earth is that? No, Jim, it has lit up.
It's an Australian icon, the Bonds brand. I'm just getting around it.
Daniel Hood, pink hoodie and thongs. Ha ha. Yeah. Jim.
Thongs. I have got thongs on.
Pink hoodie. No, it's
well,
really
now
taken
I'm not allowed to wear thongs.
There's a tone to the
pink hoodies here. A worry, Jim.
Arrogance.
There's none of that. Well, you didn't see us play last week. There's never been a club less able to have arrogance about the way we're
tracking.
Well,
you took your foot off because you're in a position to do things.
No, Chief, you know that's not the case. Tell me about Dyson Heppel. That's a big, big thing for the Essendon Footy Club.
Yeah, it was, Jim, wasn't it? Because they've added him now to the other guys they wanted. The one they really don't know about, they're still hopeful and very confident, is Michael Hurley, yep. And that's the one. He's contracted, but there is a strong suggestion that his management will look at forcing on the club a new contract should he choose to stay at the club. They won't want to do that, and they're going to say they're not going to do that, but I think they'll reach a happy medium if it means he stays. So that's the one they want to do. The Joe Watson one is a little bit less complicated. My take on that is he either plays or he doesn't play. I don't think he's entertaining at all going elsewhere, so you can remove that from the equation. And
but the noises are good. I mean, Heppel's a big one. David Myers, of course, during the week as well.
Yep.
So they're starting to get these blokes re-signed.
Well, I think particularly given it's almost accepted now that if a player wants out, he can get out, and no one's had to challenge that, but we believe that's the case. Yep. Yep. I think to virtually have retained them all, bar a query over one or two remaining, is excellent work.
And they're really confident having said all that too, Chief. Yep. But they don't know that they've had better reads on the other players than they do on Hurley.
John Worsfold's got a big credit to him to do with that.
Yep. He's a great appointment for that club at that at point in time. And you know, for the game, let's just say 7 of the 12 decide to go elsewhere. That's not great for the game. That would to put Essendon back further into the mob, I just don't think is a good thing. So, you know what, I'm actually happy from a game point of view that those guys have chosen to stay and Essendon can rebuild a bit quicker than maybe we would have thought.
The hooker one was... Sorry, Jim. The hooker one was key to it, wasn't it? The five-year deals that he recommitted to. And they would have got pick two or three as compensation loss for him. So that must have been a consideration, but they were hell-bent on retaining the 12. And he, as we said at the time, is the real glue on that playing list, particularly with the 12 that are... they're in question.
Duke, I think I might have even said it to Chief. I said during the week on air, I said exactly the same thing about Jesse Hogan. As a game, do we really want him leaving Melbourne?
No.
We don't. We want him to be a 10-year player there and help him get back, you know, because it's been so long for that club to, you know, top four and top two and playing in grand finals and kids with their Melbourne jumpers on. I mean, we don't want him leaving.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I hope that is the case. I hope they can entice him to stay, and you know, I suppose at the end of the day, that decision will be his. But
he's got another year to go, by the way. It's not just this year. It's an amazing amount of talk about Jesse Hogan.
He's out of contract.
He's out of contract.
So it's another year, isn't it?
Another year.
Exactly. All right, we need to get to a break. Ship off.
Oh, yes.
Ready to go.
You ready to go?
Just added your name to the list.
I've seen your nostrils flare. I think you're ready to go, Chief.
We've got a few.
I like it.
Ship the hell off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Find a little boat and ship the hell off. Yes, we might need to book out the marina, Jim, because I found a few little things that caught my attention this week. I don't know if you're across it, but the protesters that are protesting in support of the refugees.
Yes.
Let's leave out the issue for starters. There is a right way and a wrong way to protest. They stormed the Department of Immigration and Border Protection. They filtered through the building, went up levels, they threw bins over balconies into the foyer, which is both dangerous and littering. They occupied the lifts, which prevented staff from going home, which I would have thought to almost a form of false imprisonment. And there's probably only one or two people there that actually have any involvement in policy, along with the government. But they then thought after about a one-hour standoff with police, they'd move out onto the streets. They went to the corner of Albert and Nicholson Street, and they blocked traffic, blocked trams. People had to get off trams and walk. Motorists were getting angry and frustrated, understandably so. All these people had absolutely nothing to do with it.
Yes.
And they're the ones getting punished. I mean, it just, that's not how you win plenty of support. And I would have thought they're extremely lucky they didn't get run over or get their nose broken. And I almost wish a couple of them had, just to to push home the fact that there is a right way and a wrong way to protest, and you don't punish the innocent people, you flogs. So ship off, protesters.
It was a big build-up to that, but you got there.
A little political start.
He likes it, politics.
The young lady that walks the social circles by the name of Bryn Gordon. You may know her as the former Bryn Edelston.
Yes.
Correct.
Well, they had a big charity poker event down in Geelong, and I stress for charity, a good cause.
Yep.
A very good friend of ours, Shane Warne, was down there, as he always does, lends his hand to a lot of charities.
He does.
They then had a bit of an after party in at Crown. And then, look, she invited Warney for a nightcap to her apartment, which is all fine.
It's just a nightcap, Chief.
He's a nightcap merchant, Warney. And
It was only 1 o'clock.
He's a man's man. He loves a sip, as we all do. So he goes back to have the nightcap, and the paparazzi are waiting.
Oh, no.
Now, seriously. How desperate for publicity can one person be? Here's a thought. Try doing something interesting or relevant or meaningful yourself, aside from just marrying someone with money, instead of trying to feed off poor old Warnie. Ship off, Bryn.
Bryn's copped a
little
shit.
That might be your best for 2016.
The shipping.
Let's turn our attention to the sporting world. We all love the NBA and the finals are on at the moment. And the San Antonio Spurs went out. They crashed today. They lost 4-2 in their series to Oklahoma City Thunder. Greg Popovich is the coach of the Spurs. He's been coaching for 20 years.
Come on, Pop.
He's a veteran. He's one of the big names.
Yes.
And he gave us this at the press conference.
Coach, rebounding has been an issue this series. Tonight again, seemed like rebounding the Thunder beat you to the boards tonight as well.
That's a correct statement.
Do you have any regrets about not going smaller earlier?
No. Are you coaching now? You should try not to do that.
Come on, Papa. You've just shot down a bloke that's trying to promote the game. You got to be better than that. That's called sooking, and you can ship off for that, Papa.
The legendary coach.
Now, we have there's almost a fraternal brotherhood with our friends at Triple M Adelaide,
yes,
do we not?
Yes, we do.
Absolutely.
So they decided, some genius, or a couple of geniuses, put their heads together.
It wasn't a reshoot, was it?
And they decided to go out to the airport and greet Patrick Dangerfield as he returned to town.
I did see this, Chief.
And they started up a chant, which is, danger, danger, go away.
Yep.
I mean, it was mind-boggling how they thought that up. But it all comes back to who is actually responsible for this.
Yep.
And I heard a gentleman interviewed who flatly denied any involvement, but I can see straight through that. This is Mark Ricciuto in a nutshell. Rue, ship off.
Just cop that, the great Ricciuto.
And I have to give a warning before I wrap up, Jim.
Ship off, Rue.
I've been hard on the world of tennis in recent times.
You have, but they've justifiably
they've provided a bit of fodder, have they not? And there was a temptation to almost go again tonight.
You should have.
Now, I was down the tennis centre during the week hitting with a group of friends, as I often do, and one of the guys, Dreiser manager's Leighton Hewitt.
Yes.
And Leighton was walking past, and he's already kicked up over the cook I gave Adelaide a little while ago.
Is he?
And Leighton just decided to walk past our court and give me a drive-by.
He gave you some.
Saying, leave the world of tennis alone and understand what you're talking about. So I'm not ever, ever, ever going to have a go at Bernie again or at Nick. Anytime there's a problem in tennis, I'll be shipping you off, Leighton.
Oh!
And Adelaide's a shit joint. So, away you go, Leighton. Ship off!
I just thought for a second, Duke, just for a second, that Leighton had put the wind up him and Chief had had to backpedal.
I was with you for a moment.
And then I backpedal for no man.
Ricciuto and Leighton
that
Hewitt
is
in the
Adelaide
one.
Adelaide royalty.
I hope I'm not going to Adelaide.
I hope you're not too, Chief. Especially with the big Ricciuto, Duke. He takes no prisoners.
He hasn't got a natural predator, the Ricciuto, and he won't enjoy that, I wouldn't have thought.
No, that'll get back to him. He's probably listening as we speak, actually.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I hope so. And Leighton Hewitt is the exact
will be listening.
The exact opposite of what you've been speaking about. If they all had the same attitude he had, they'd never be shipped.
But if you're in charge and you can't exert any sort of control or show some leadership, don't get me started.
He's
again, Jim.
Just backed over it again.
You can't cop that be little going, Leighton Hewitt.
Come on, wee man, get it fixed.
You can't be doing that. Teams for Sunday Purple, by the way. I love Ship Off. It might be my favourite segment.
Just a couple of highlights out of it, Jim. Hooley out for Richmond, a late withdrawal. Hunt in. Kennedy for the Swans misses. And Jack Hiscox will play his first game of footy. Melbourne had their confirmation of teams, Jim. Salem in and Kent being out with the back. And Carlton on the back of the three wins in a row, unchanged.
The Wolfpack, of course, at Triple M Footy. They'll be getting around me, Duke. I know I've got a good sense of it. I've got a nice feeling of the love, the warmth.
Certainly getting around you, Jim, from what I can see.
Circling like sharks.
At Triple M Footy. My wife has the same top. She wears it when she goes to Fernwood from Adam M. Catherine says it's baby pink. James, come on, you can't be wearing that sort of gear.
Catherine said that.
Catherine said that. And what about Cootsie's a flog? Triple M Footy. Leave the real wanker style dress sense to the Jukes.
Yes, Cootsie, which I is like that too.
That's horrendous. Fun. And I think there's a little drive-by for Chief here. Yep. I'll get back to you. Better than the Chief's orange and green combo.
Except I'm wearing nothing that's green.
Surprise, that fits on his melon. So it's just
a good one, colourblind.
No!
Keep them coming.
We've got Matty Scarlett not far away. Lockie Whitfield signing again with the GWS is a good thing too.
It is. There was plenty of interest, Jim.
He waited
until this period of the year to re-sign. But a good get, given that there's always going to be salary cap pressures on that young group, and they've already lost some players. But he was one they didn't want to lose. He's played a good 70 odd games now since being number one draft pick.
How do you see him as a number one draft pick? We always default back, I guess, Duke, to Jack Watts, who's been the most spoken about number one draft pick, I reckon, of the recent crop. Lockie Whitfield, his body of work so far?
I think he's a brilliant young player. I don't think he's put together a whole season yet. That at some point when he does, he's quite a lean, still hasn't quite filled into his frame. But he would be in the, if I could poach one out of GWS, he'd be in the two or three I'd go after. He's a beautiful kick.
Yeah.
He's a sensational reader of the play. And I think when it all clicks, we're looking at a real star there.
Was Dylan Scheel in the green room with Stevie when we put that to him? He said, well, you know, of all these kids, he goes, mate, there's talent everywhere, but Dylan Scheel is
the one.
He's just got plenty.
And ultimately, the re-signing of him, Jim, led to the absence of Treloar. There just simply wasn't enough to keep them both on the same list. And they made that call. They went for Scheel first over Treloar.
Josh Kelly's the other one I like, Chief.
Yeah,
good player.
The way he gets around.
It's funny because they all develop a different
speed.
And the fact is, when you're taken one, two, or three, we expect you to come in and be awesome straight away. And it's impractical. It's an unrealistic expectation.
Jacob Wiedering managed to achieve it.
Yeah.
I know he's injured now. And not in a great side either.
No, he's one of the rare key position players that you see at 17 that look like they've played 150 games. It's almost... it's almost impossible, really. I mean, you get a Jardo or a Freak that's just like a man and ready to play. But what he was doing in the first three or four games was just incredible.
And another one's Isaac Heaney, Jim, isn't he? Just in his second year, just got over 20-odd matches to his name. But I would argue he's as good. He's in the best 22 if you're picking a team. I think he goes in on merit in this second year as a legitimate half-forward forward pocket. Just extraordinary.
We might revisit that, and I don't think anyone's disagreeing with you, Purple, by the way, because Matty Scarlett, I think, is at the top of the race in the at the Adelaide Oval, ready to chat to us. This is a legend, of course, of the Geelong Footy Club, and now a very big and important part of the coaching staff down there. Scarlett, welcome.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Good to be here. I love this ground. It's fantastic.
Now, you've been there. I said to the boys earlier, I think this is the first time you've played Adelaide at the Adelaide Oval, but I know you've played Port a couple of times. What is it about it you love?
Port Adelaide a couple of weeks ago was the first time I'd been to this venue. Just the atmosphere and the build-up to the game is tremendous, and just a good little reminder of how bad that other Oval was that we had to play out here. But it's a sensational venue. The boys are looking forward to a big game tonight.
Hey, Matty, you were never one for a great deal of fuss and bother and all sorts of things in terms of the build-up and what's happening off-field, but the way they've made this about danger returning to Adelaide has been an interesting week, to say the least.
Yeah, it has been quite the build-up, mate. It's understandable. Paddy's obviously a champion, and he's back here for the first time, so he handles all that stuff really well. He's obviously in really good form, and I'm sure the Crows boys are going to look forward to taking him on, and Paddy's looking forward to that as well.
Hey, Scarlo, how are you enjoying life as a full-time coach? I must admit I wasn't 100% convinced that was going to be your path. Not that I have an insight into it, but I thought you might have been someone who'd drift off and do something else. But you're right immersed back in your old club. Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I am, mate. I am loving it. Mate, you're probably right. It wasn't probably till I'd retired from AFL that I had a look at coaching and went up to the Western Bulldogs for a couple of years part-time with Brendan McCarty and coached my own team locally. I'm really loving the role at the moment. The boys are playing pretty well. Looking forward to a good night tonight.
Matty, do you know now if you can lock into that being your career pursuit?
I'm not sure, mate. Like, I hope so. I'm hoping to do this for a long time, and hopefully I turn out to be a really good coach. I'm just a young coach and I'm learning a lot each day, but I guess it goes on how you perform and how the team's going, but certainly I hope to do it for a long time, mate.
And you mentioned coaching your own team locally. How did that go, and is that something you want to sample a little bit more of?
It went well, mate. The team didn't perform that well, but I had a great experience. It was a fantastic couple of years. Something possibly down the track, I'll look forward to doing that, mate. Just as I said before, I'm a young coach and learning a lot and loving the life of the assistant at the moment, and I love supporting Scotty and the other guys.
Hey, Scully, you've seen a lot of transition in defence when you first started. You were one out and your man, and you had some great battles with Matty Lloyd, and then you started to zone a bit. Geelong was probably one of the first sides to really put that in place. Where do you see it now? Do you genuinely see as that is the future of football? Clubs are all going to employ a defensive zone?
I think a bit of both, mate. I think you have to be good at the zone and you have to be good at man-on-man as well. I think you watch finals football and that hasn't really changed, and I don't think it ever will. So we employ a type of zone, but also our players are in a lot of one-on-one. So it's really important you have a back line that can play the zone footy and are really smart, but also win their one-on-one battles, and I think that's what we've got.
Hey, Scarlo, I listen to Brad Scott talk a lot, the coach, the brother of the coach at your club, and he often says that the one thing he's got to remember is how hard it is as a player. How do you go with that? Because I watched you play, what was it, 300 games, and it never looked that bloody hard to me.
No, it was, mate. Mate, I had great players around me, and I was lucky enough to be in a great team, and I certainly haven't forgotten how hard it is, and I think it's even harder, but certainly harder now for these guys. I think the pressures and just the fitness levels and everything they have to be good at. There wasn't a hell of a lot of running when I was playing. Thank Christ, I don't reckon I'd be able to keep up now, but I haven't forgotten how hard the game is.
Matty, tonight's game obviously presents a really good challenge, and it's going to tell you where you're at as a footy club. Going into it at 6-1, the one loss coming against GWS, you've had some good wins, but against teams which may not be figuring in September. Do you see it that way too, that this is your biggest test of the season?
Yeah, certainly, mate. I think defending their attack tonight is going to be the game for us. They are ranked one in attack. They can score really easily. They move the ball so well out of their back line, and they've got superstars in their forward line. So great challenge for our team defence tonight. We've been performing really well, but yeah, this is our biggest test.
Given the defence is your renowned neck of the woods, of the big four that we've come to refer to now when we refer to the Crows forward line, who presents the biggest challenge to you right now?
I think they all do. Obviously, Eddie's a superstar, and Taylor Walker obviously has copped a bit of heat in the media. So I think you'd be ready to fire, and Jenkins is in great form. Lynch is a crucial link-up man in the middle. So, yeah, we have to play really well as a defensive unit back there, but also rely on our mids and our forward line to put on great pressure, which I have been doing all year.
You always enjoyed a cold beer on a warm day, Scarlo. You still sneak a couple of quiet frothies in after the game tonight over in Adelaide?
I'm not sure, mate. Let's see how we go. But, mate, I don't drink as much as I used to. You don't have time as a coach, and certainly trying to set the right example, mate.
It's a very serious version of Scarlo these days. It's just a very straight bat. We don't get any of the extracurricular these days, but times have changed.
Yes.
Hey, Scarlo, we don't want to hold you up, mate. You got a massive night. Good luck. It's going to be one of the great games, we all think, and I hope it goes well for you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Have a good night.
All right, Matty Scarlo. There was a man, Duke. Only in my humble opinion, and everyone's entitled to theirs, in the 10 years that he played, he was in the top two or three players in the game,
yep.
In my view. Forget about yep. defenders and mids, and everyone spoke about Ablett and Judd and all the obvious people. If he had to ask me in his time, the two or three best players playing the game of football, he was in there, in my view. Okay, I don't care that he's a defender.
Defenders you have to grade lower. So
no, you
might
don't
be
have to grade them lower.
The best defender going around.
He was a very attacking defender.
Jim, give me this.
So Chief, teams had to enter 50 around him.
Jim, you don't save games, you win games.
He won them.
You win them, Jim, you don't save them.
I don't
He pays no
he was a
to
superstar defender. But he was a defender.
He changed the way the game
he
was
did.
Played, Jim.
And he changed
ways.
The way teams entered their forward 50.
When you're getting 30 possessions at fullback, yep. That was unheard of prior to the way he went about it. So,
and David Dench style in his dashing down the ground. He was a star, Chief. I won't have that.
I know he was a star, Jim. He was probably the best defender.
Yes. And in the best five players in the comp.
No, he was
yes,
a defender.
And you found him early, Jim. You went early with him.
I loved him.
I think before a lot of people
him.
Did.
And I love the way he rolled too. He didn't give a stuff.
Didn't care about anything, Scarlo. Enjoyed a nice time off the field
that's
as
it.
Well. Didn't buy into any of the politics. Didn't bother with the media too much. Chief, if you had to roll down into the golf square and Matty Scarlett stood on, how many would you have penciled in on a reasonable day?
I have no idea. He would have been tough to play on because he
Why did you write six down on the paper? I haven't written any number.
That is a bald-faced lie. Did I write a number down?
No, you did not.
Thank you very much.
Darce, I'm sorry, but he asked me a trick question and he didn't write it down.
But he's got that look in his eye.
Yeah, you look like you were going to say six.
No, I was not. The thing about Scalo is I could never understand how strong he was, and yet all the forwards said he was as strong as anyone. But he just looked wiry. He didn't look like he had the bulk. So he had the speed in terms of covering ground, but he also had the strength, which is a pretty good combination.
And used it beautifully going out.
Absolutely.
Chief's got, I reckon, six or seven, you think.
You're an idiot, Duke.
Chief, I wanted to pursue this because...
You know he thinks six or seven.
We're not talking old and busted, Chief.
We're talking when you're at your best. So, you know, let's take your mind back to that bit.
Like, so why don't we, instead of using Scalo, what happens if Duke wanted down to the score?
All right, let's talk.
Well, that's ridiculous because I didn't play fullback. Well,
and then, it's simple, every record in the game has been shattered.
You kick an 18 on the Duke.
First half.
Would you have had any craft back there, Duke?
None at all. And if I ever told the story, Matthew Richardson had just ripped us to shreds this one day, kicked eight, and we'd been through three fullbacks. Yep. And they were trying to get the fourth one on. The runner came out and said, "Mate, you've got to go down there." And he said, "Mate, don't worry. We're not keeping you down there, but just go down there and hold it up for
a minute while we get it.
And as I wandered down, Richo, before I got within 15, he goes, "Don't tell me the sin of you." He goes, "Mate, I'll kick 20 on you, you hack." But I hadn't even got to him.
Did you hold him up in any one-on-ones?
He didn't get near it when I was running for those couple of minutes.
Yes, we're here in the Richard Marsland Studios, South Melbourne style, for a nice rub prior to the game between the Cats and the Crows. We've got the Duke here. We've got Damo and the Chief. Still to chat to Rory Laird. And then we hand over to the boys in Adelaide, who will do a sensational job of calling what will be a magnificent Friday night game. Tex Walker, I want to ask you, Chief, and Duke. I must admit, I saw them rounds one and three and haven't seen Adelaide since. Has he been off the pace, and if so, why?
It's an interesting one. I've only seen them a couple of times this year. We know what a destructive player he can be. I don't think he's at his best. There's no doubt about that. Whether he's had a couple of niggles or not, I suspect he has. But even last week was interesting because he got his hands to a lot of balls in the air
that he
would normally just one grab, and unfortunately they spilled out. So he's not quite on song at the moment.
Now, there's six or seven two grabbers that just got spoiled at the last moment. And at least you'd say he's getting the right position. He's got an enormous work rate, and you know he's definitely not in great touch at the moment. And even his ball use is fantastic. A couple of his kicking errors, which were really uncharacteristic. So you just look at him and think, you're not horribly out of form, but you're not in great form. And I just forget the sense that it will click, and you're not concerned about him long term, but he's certainly not in a great form patch at the moment.
Does he look heavy? Because he can get heavy, Texan, around the sort of arse and legs. And
he didn't look like he was restricted in his movement or wasn't carrying across the ground well. He looked like he was moving fine, just a little bit out of touch and maybe just adjusting to a new slightly different game plan, playing centre forward, the hardest position to play in the ground. So I wouldn't be too concerned about him.
Do you agree, Chief, that it is, in the discussion at least, as the best forward line in the comp?
Oh, absolutely. And the great thing is, I mean, we can talk about Tex and it doesn't matter if he's not at his best because it's not all about him. So whether it's Jenkins kicked eight straight last week, you've got Tom Lynch who just keeps bobbing up because he works so hard, and we know what Eddie Betts is capable of. And then you throw in the other peripheral players around there, whether it's Charlie Cameron or someone like that can dart forward, or some of the midfielders that spend time forward. Miller is going to be a really good player in the coming season. I think they've got great versatility and great unpredictability with their forward line.
Keep your eye on Charlie Cameron tonight. I really enjoyed watching him last night. Didn't get a heap of the football, but he's got a little bit of the Cyril Rioli's about him. He's an unbelievable pressure player. He's an incredible tackler for not a big unit, and he looks dangerous. He looks like he's got something very special about him. Only played 32 games so far, but he adds to that mix very, very nicely.
Getting back to Tex and the unpredictability, Chief, what I love about him is the amount of times he just plays on, just wheels and goes.
Yep.
Like, is that meant to happen? Or well, reckon Don Pike just says, "Mate, you do what you want."
That's a forward that understands what the other forwards want you.
Yep.
That's quick movement of the footy. And even if it's not a perfect kick to you, get it down to a one-on-one contest where you have an opportunity to use a little bit of space and not have to deal with traffic.
Why doesn't that more often than...
Well, some players don't clear the mark quickly enough. There's no doubt about that. Yep. Others aren't as decisive as he is. But he's also got great range. So if he wheels and goes, it's going to clear anyone that is trying to drop back anyway, even if they've already started. He can kick it 60 off one step.
So the great supporters question, Duke, is this, and we saw a great example of it with North Melbourne and St Kilda on the weekend. St Kilda got themselves to 28 points down or whatever it was, and then you could see the whole mindset of the team going, well, bugger it. Unless we wheel and go, we're not winning this game. Yeah. Higgins hits the post, and from that moment on, they just threw all of that out and went, right, we're just going. And looked incredibly dangerous and nearly stole the game. So I'd imagine all the Saints fans are driving home going, well, why the hell didn't we do that a quarter earlier? It's an incredible thing because they look so dangerous for 20 minutes.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing. As a player, there's an element of, you know, what self-preservation always, isn't there? You think, I want to make the right decision. I want to get it right. Do I really want to free will and put myself in a position where I turn the footy over and have a negative? Or do I want to play it safe? Now, you always coach to be you know, attacking and do the right thing. And that's what I loved about the Geelong era is that, Mark Thompson got to the point where if they didn't play on, even if it was they just came straight off the ground. So they made it so crystal clear and it was so extraordinary the risk they were taking. And then it became so incredible how well the players linked up. You couldn't defend against
them. Well, that's the key too. It's also that understanding they have. And I think that's what Tex has. He knows if he turns and goes, either A, there's someone down there waiting for a contest, or B, it's open space and there'll be Adelaide players running back first. Because if you watch someone take a mark for Adelaide, Jim, in that area between, say, the 50-metre arc and the back of the centre square, the forwards just turn and go as they see a teammate mark it because they know the quick kick's coming over the top. And when they did that to Hawthorn, I think we did that game in the first quarter, they kicked like seven goals. I think six of them were over the back like that.
Yep, and it's brilliant to watch.
Oh,
it's compelling footy in that you just can't take your eyes off it. Hey, Paul Ruse, Purple, as good as anointed, Jack Viney is a future, maybe not the next, but a future captain of the club, which I don't think was overly surprising because such an impressive young man.
He is, and I would say he would be the next one, Jim. I think Nathan Jones has been outstanding and will have it for two, maybe three years beyond this year, the way he's going, and they're already wrapping him up as the development with his leadership, and he just looms, doesn't he, as the next captain, to me anyway, right now. I can see him replacing Nathan Jones, and it may well be by 2018 or 19.
How hard is he, Jack Viney? Oh, it just makes me laugh every time I watch him play. He clashed heads with, what's his name, a week ago, his own teammate.
Yeah, that's right.
Christian Salem. Jack Viney looked around as though maybe, you know, some sort of insect had brushed him. Poor old Salem, I think, missed a week with concussion. He's just got the hardest head I've ever seen in a young midfielder.
It's interesting hearing Jack Viney talk about using a sports psych, which has helped him focus, because when you watch him play, Jim, you just suspect there's a little bit of white line fever in the boy. He can go crazy. So it's helped him focus, and I think he's going to be a lot better developed and better placed to be captain, as opposed to a Trengove and a Grimes who got thrust into it at a young age because they didn't have anyone. This has been a really good succession plan.
The footage package around last night, Jim, when he was on the footy show, it's actually, for we who don't play the game, and you guys bag me for it, don't you, Chief? But it was a scary bit of footage where...
Actually, you do, Dust.
There's a scary bit of footage where Mav Weller was trying to push off him at one stage, and he nearly broke him.
They're both bulls too, Mav Weller's.
Just extraordinary. He nearly broke his arm, nearly broke his body, and he just does it all the time, doesn't he?
Yeah, I love the stories of Jack as a kid, you know, where he just was, had to play four or five ages above because the mums just wouldn't allow their kids to play against him. He was just a wrecking ball, and the mums just went, I'm not having my kid anywhere near Jack Viney. So I think he played first aid in, you know, in year eight or nine or something ridiculous like that. But then to have it carry on at senior level, even at training, I was spoken to Goody, they actually got to say, mate, you know, this is a drill, we don't want to lose anyone. Can you just wind it back a bit? Not actually.
No, the male I hear out of Melbourne Duke is he is by far their best trainer, like just tears it up. Every session, his intensity levels are through the roof. Isn't it amazing how all the best players are nearly always the best trainers? You might have been the only exception to that, Chief.
Plugger?
Oh, he's throwing up. All right, there's two. There's the only two exceptions I'll grant you. Because you hear about the Duck, he was by far the best trainer at North.
But see, that's a fallacy too, to think I was a poor trainer.
No, I'm not saying poor.
I trained hard. I mightn't have been any good, Jim, in terms of being an athlete compared to the other blokes, but I tried as hard as I could.
Always?
Always.
Were there some times, Chief, when you thought to yourself, you know what, just come off at 12?
The pre-season 4K run, Chief, did you really extend yourself on...
Absolutely.
Did you?
I was just no good at it, Duke.
What was your run?
I don't think I have any slow twitch muscle fibres in my body. It's all fast twitch.
Right.
So it's all rip, you know what, or bust.
Yes.
What was your run, the 2K time trial, Chief?
Oh, horrendously slow. I have no idea. I never broke 15 minutes around the tan.
That's pretty slow for a footballer.
I did 15-15, and I felt like I was flying. I thought it was low flying.
It's fast for the normal person, by the way.
No, not really.
It is.
So, back end, Chief, I think you managed your weeks, didn't you?
I was a broken down old man by then, Jim. It was a matter of trying to get to the post.
Picked your 7 and 8 and then really had a very quiet week.
And then when you ran
if you had knees like mine, Jim, you would have had a quiet week.
Well, if you got some weight off your guts, your knees might have been all right.
And you're running a saloon, Chief, too.
No, I wasn't running it at all.
Yes, you were. And
you were
hosting the footy show, the Live and Kicking footy show, when you were still playing.
I hosted a few people there, never let Jim in.
You were still playing.
Yeah, that is true.
Just hosting a footy show while you're playing?
Bluey and I were standing out in the queue and we tried to act as if we knew the Chief and he brushed us. He shipped us off that comprehensively.
In the saloon? You queued up.
Chase. Don't worry. This is back in the day.
Imagine this.
Is that when you were South Australian cricketer?
Imagine this skinny gutted little pull through. Waving to me as though I should know him.
He just walks up to people now and says, I'm coming in.
What I did hope, Duke, was that Bluey was playing for Australia. I hoped he might have the gravitas to get us in, but Chief shipped him off too.
Can I just make the point, has ever a man been less well-designed for hospitality than the two?
any more
less hospitable person you've ever met than the Chief. Imagine turning up at the saloon and waiting for a bit of personality out of the Chief. That would have been.
There was a very select group that were in his tent and everyone else got shipped off.
Geez, that was popular for a world chief, a saloon.
Because of my hospitality.
Please.
Oh, no.
Rory Laird's going to be in the commentary box in Adelaide as well. In fact, who's in there? Rosa's there now. Oh, beautiful. Rosa, we got you.
Hey, mate. How you going?
Yeah, long time no speak.
Yep, couple of hours.
A couple of hours. We had you on the rush hour this afternoon, but the boys are going to join you. Big reshoot, and Brian Taylor's going to be in there as well. So we look forward to having a chat, but... Boy, it's been a big build-up. I understand every ticket sold tonight, Rosa.
Yeah, it's packing in now, mate. The boys are out for their warm-up, and there's numbers coming in by the thousands, I reckon, so it should not be a spare seat in the house.
All right, Rory, what have the boys got in store for Paddy Dangerfield? How's it going to be out on the ground if you've got a chance to run at him into 50-50 ball? How does it work?
Oh, I reckon you'd run straight through him, I reckon, or try to at least. He's a pretty solid man. I reckon there should be a little bit of stick, but not too bad. I reckon it's more a team focus, and there's more to Geelong than Dangerfield, I reckon.
Rory, what's been the key... Sorry, Chief, you want to... With regards to Dangerfield not being there, I know there's been a lot of analysis, and I know that you've bonded together as a team, but the fact he's not there, what do you think it did? Can you pinpoint why it's made you arguably a better team around that midfield area?
Oh, I reckon they worked out how to make up for what he did around the stoppages and what he did for us as a team. It forced other players to come in and play their roles and sort of fill the void that he left. And I think we've done that really well. I think it's shown in the first couple of rounds that even though he's a fantastic player and a dominant player at times, I think we as a list have a lot of depth in there, and we've covered for it pretty well, and we're playing some really exciting footy and scoring heavily, and I think our midfield's been pretty good.
Hey, Rory, congratulations on your year so far. You were travelling beautifully. I think before you fractured your toe, is that correct? And when will we see you back out there?
Yeah, I've stubbed my toe, and it's turned out to be pretty bad stubbing. So I've fractured it just under my nail, and it's gone all the way across. So unfortunately, I'm out, hopefully back next week against Gold Coast. But if it doesn't come up 100%, then the week after.
And how'd you stub that, mate? What'd you stub it on?
The ground. It sounds shocking, but I took a mark, and I just sort of kicked my leg out, and it's just sort of hit it right on top of it, and cracked it, and then I played on it, and it made it a lot worse, and I sort of lasted three quarters, and then I sort of couldn't do it anymore, and it turns out there was a bit of a break there, so unfortunately I'm sitting on the sidelines tonight.
That is unusual. You're not that sort of type that does the odd uncoordinated thing, are you?
No, I don't try to. It's very frustrating that I'm out here with a broken toe. It's, I didn't know a toe could be so painful either. I'm just out of the mood boot now, so it's nice to not be lugging around an extra 2 kilos on my foot.
And you must be feeling good about the side that you've got put together, and really talented, really good mix, and you working back into defence with a young side. What's the expectation? How far do you think the Adelaide Crows can go this year?
Oh, I reckon our best footy, I reckon we can, you know, take it up to any team in the league. I reckon we've shown against some top teams last year and this year as well that when we're on and we're playing it together as a team and defending well and sort of attacking together that we can, you know, take it up to anyone. We've had some really good wins this year and we've also had some really close disappointing losses. So I reckon tonight, you know, if we're switched on, Geelong are one of the top teams in the comp at the moment. So we'll see how we go. But I think there's a lot of confidence and a lot of positivity in our group.
Hey, Rosa, I think I might have sold you the pup there. You're out on the ground. We're going to cross up to the commentary box where we'll find Rusciuto and BT. But what are you doing for the rest of the night?
Oh, I've got another media thing after this, which is always fun. So our media manager's really peppered me tonight. But after that, I'll be sitting in the box and watching the game from up top. Which
coach's
is,
box?
Which not too nice. Yeah, hopefully a few snacks up there and really sit back and relax.
Jim, we normally get a bit of an insight into the individual, and you like to delve into what's Rory up to these
Rory's
days?
Rory's a Scotch College Nipsey, private school boy from Adelaide, and... that wasn't one of the better joints, I'll be brutally honest, Duke.
Okay.
There's some upper echelon private schools in Adelaide, and Scotch ain't one of them. So he's actually done bloody well for himself, haven't you, Rosa, given that you didn't get a great set of cards dealt to?
Yeah, thanks, JB. I could say the same thing straight back to you.
Yes, and do say that.
I reckon I could sort of say the same thing about your school. So you've turned out to be actually okay, bloke.
All right.
Which is good.
He's a good little boy.
He's a good looking rooster, like Rory. Yep. On the solo scene, Rory, where are you at with... on that front?
What's that, sorry, with the...
Have you got a young girl at the moment?
No, I don't. And everyone in our team is dropping like flies, actually. So I'm like a lone soldier at the moment, just out here, just concentrating on footy, should I say. So.
What about the Crouch boys? Surely you'd find some joy there if you need to head out somewhere?
Oh, yeah, those boys, I reckon you could say, let's go for a punt and a beer anytime you want, and they'd be ready to join along. But in saying that too, they're very serious about their footy. So they're actually both out here tonight looking to have a big game, which I hope they do, because they're very crucial to us playing well.
No, go and get stuck in, mate. Great chatting to you.
All right, thanks, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Roy Laird, a beauty. And they miss him. He's been a very important part
sure
of what
has.
They do, Rory Laird.
It's an unusual injury, isn't it?
Yeah.
With your boots on, stubbing your toe out in a game and breaking it.
Almost doesn't make sense, does it? It's bizarre.
It's normally a ruckman sort of injury, isn't it? That you'd imagine a big dopey bloke doing that, Jim, but not a little.
Got through a night without the low-hanging fruit, Chief. And we almost got to the finish line, but no.
Important ruck tonight, I would have thought, with Big Sauce and the Gold Coast boy who's come down and played.
Yeah, Zach Smith, I think, is one of the steals of the year, Jim, for me. Yeah. And I think, you know, the fact that he has got through to Geelong just shows how well that club operate. I rate him really highly. He's a really good, capable forward. And the combination he and Reece Stanley, too, another player they've recycled, it's a really good ruck combination now. So Big Sauce, who's been in good form, he's going to have his hands full tonight with that pair.
All right, we've got Big Rusciuto not far away to join us in the box. So
he was shipped off earlier.
Well, that's why. We're just going to prepare, because I'm not sure if Roo's in there yet and able to listen, but we just need to hear what the Chief said about Mark Rusciuto. By
not
the way,
sure we do.
8-time All-Australian, Brownlow medal winning, we're talking about here, Purple.
Run South Australia,
and connected. As that's the other thing
in a good way,
that no one messes with him.
And got his right whacked.
All right, so let's have a listen to what the Chief said earlier about Rusciuto.
This is Mark Rusciuto in a nutshell. Roo, ship off.
Oh! So shipped him off because of the placards that were waiting for Danger.
Well, there's no doubt that he organised the campaign to terrorise poor old Danger coming back to Adelaide. No doubt whatsoever.
Well, he may have joined us, actually, over in the commentary box there. We got you there, Rusciuto.
I'm here, boys, and my DNA was not on that at all. You should know that, Bung. I wouldn't do a thing like that.
If they dusted for fingerprints, they're only coming after one bloke, Roo.
Nah, you won't find mine on there, BT. I did not like what I saw down at the airport yesterday and rang the station boss and told him.
Oh. what was the response?
We might have got that one wrong.
have you got the big briser there with you?
I got big briser here. We're just having a chat about little Lady. He hadn't got a girlfriend. Well, he won't get one either, BT. If the word gets out that he's missed a game with a broken toe, they don't like the soft ones, do they?
A rather soft, JB, I would have thought. Stubbed toe.
How are you, Bristle? What have you been up to?
When was the last time you missed a game with a stubbed toe?
I can't recall. We've all had broken toes and fingers, and you just bat up each week, BT.
So it was remarkable that you couldn't get a little jab in that and move on.
Hey, Bristle, I want to ask you this. Have you ever been the headline act at a speaking lunch and only have five people attend?
No, I haven't.
Bill Brownless turned up today to speak at lunch where five people were in attendance.
Well, where was it, JB?
At the Elephant and Castle Roo.
Yeah, that's right, on West Terrace in the city. Easy to get to, great reputation.
Is it a room?
There's about 150 there for lunch on a Friday. And
so you wouldn't have handed over the envelope, surely?
Well, he came a long way back, apparently, with the remuneration.
It wasn't one of my pubs. Oh, the bloke rang me, runs it, and he's absolutely shattered.
Far too common now, Billy.
Five people.
Well, Spud had three around Christmas time in Perth.
That's more
three.
Understandable.
Oh, no.
Because you at least
on?
A chance to be entertained by Willis.
One-on-one.
None of us have had five and three turn up, don't know. I reckon they're both world records there. I'm a 200 plus. No one, I don't operate 200. Less 200 are there. No,
200 minimum. Hey, Bristol, have you introduced yourself to the great Yater over there? You
I
two,
have.
You going to look after him tonight?
The dog caller. I said, walked into the box and I said, where are you sitting, Yater? And he said, on the left. I said, I sit on the left, Yater. He said, but I normally... I said, Yater, get out. Get out. But then he got up and I realised he's got a broken leg as well, so he's no good. So he can have the left and I'm left ear in the middle, so I haven't got more way.
And who else? You've got Rashute or is he on Adelaide?
Yes. No, we've got Rashute is here, of course. Adar Lewis is going to be with us.
Louis.
Big Biggers is down there, Red Biglands. He'll be joining us a little later on. Great night here, guys. Really sensational night it is. Been a clear day over here. Probably going to be a little bit of dew as a result of the good day that it has been. And it is an official sellout. So now it's just down to how many of the Adelaide Crows members turn up as to how close they get to the 52,000.
You didn't cop any flack on the way in Bristol because, according to Dennis Pagan, you ruined the Adelaide Crows' performance last week with your shenanigans with Eddie Betts and you cost them the game.
Walked with head down all the way to us so that I couldn't be seen. Come on. Now, listen, North Melbourne are currently the best team with the media. Everyone agrees with that. You can do whatever you want.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, they've got record membership, record sponsorship, and they're sitting on top of the ladder. I mean, things have changed. Things have changed, Dennis, and that's where it's at. Your formula worked for you and your era, but things have moved on. We would never have gone with that interview with a young two or three gamer. It would have always been someone that could handle it. And by the way, it was before his personal preparation time.
2.5 hours before the game, Bristol.
It was before the team preparation time. He wanted to do it. We wanted him to do it.
You're a bit defensive, BT. You normally don't get so defensive.
He had the right person. I tell you what, Damo, I think I've been unfairly stabbed over this. And by the way, I'm not pumping my own little interview up here.
No, give it a go.
But no interview has had more hits on Facebook than this one. 150,000 before the story even got going.
Hey, BT, what sort of game did Eddie play off the back of that?
Eddie wasn't good, Bung, but let me tell you, the very next day, I went and did an interview with Scotty Thompson in the North Melbourne rooms, having a bit of a muck around and carry on. Guess what? He was best on ground. North Melbourne won, and they're on top of the ladder.
Hey, Bristol, because you're over there and will do an unbelievably good job of calling this game, and Yater is sitting next to you, Roo, does that give me the strong impression that Dittmar's been given the arse?
Oh. Well, you wouldn't believe it. He had a squash trip up in Queensland.
Oh.
Imagine the blokes on that trip.
A squash trip, that'd be an absolute... They have to bring a plate.
You bring the sandwiches, I'll bring the scones.
And by the way, not only Ditters, but it's a fair chance Yater won't get much of a go tonight.
Oh, no. It'll be the Bristol show tonight. Don't worry about that.
Get out of here.
Very one-sided over here.
All right, well, we're going to get to a break. You boys are going to do a great job after it. Great chatting to you. Good luck with a massive call.
See you, boys.
That's what you got to enjoy. It's going to be humongous. Adelaide, Geelong. After this, we head over to the City of Churches. For McDonald's, get a fan feed box today. Great to see you, Chief. Enjoy your Friday night.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
The Big Duke.
Good on you, Jim.
Jim.
Nice. Even golf, who's basically contributed bugger all, but you can enjoy your Friday night too. Golf, what are you doing
with
yourself?
Thank you. His foot's better.
I'm stuck here for the next 3 hours, which is great. Thank you.
Paddling the footy. Sucked in.
Oh, Jim.
I love golf. He knows that.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks football.